Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and we are here right now with Kevin Zeese. And as we're about to talk about Bradley Manning, Kevin Zeese is member of the steering committee for the Bradley Manning Support Network, co-host of Clear the Fog on WEACT Radio, 1480 AM in Washington, D.C., and co-director, itsoureconomy.us.
Right.
And we are also joined here. Do we have our other guests here? Justin Radick?
No.
No? Yes, yes, no. Who is Government Accountability Projects, National Security and Human Rights Director. Kevin, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Great to be here. Good to see you.
We've been covering this trial. We're going to cover it, really kind of get a follow-up almost every day on this program after when it ends.
Great.
Who can follow what's going on. I know there's a big demonstration coming up Saturday.
June 1st.
June 1st. But let's begin with a little background.
Sure.
Very quick thumbnail history of what brought us to this place and where we are and why.
Bradley Manning released the largest ever leak of government documents involving daily war logs from Iraq and Afghanistan and Guantanamo, as well as documents from the State Department, diplomatic cables. And so it gave us a glimpse into the whole U.S. national security foreign policy apparatus. And what people saw was not very pretty. The first big release was the Collateral Murder video, which showed U.S. soldiers seeming to enjoy killing civilians in Iraq. And then the diplomatic cables exposed all sorts of war crimes and unethical behavior in a foreign policy that's designed for transnational corporations. Manning was arrested, held now for 3 years, waiting for a trial. 1 year of that, he was held in solitary confinement in Kuwait and in Quantico. That took a lot of struggle just to get him to be treated decently. Barack Obama claimed he was guilty more than a year ago. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said he was guilty as well before the trial began. It's very Alice in Wonderland. Sentence him now, trial later. And that's where we are today. Now we went through a whole long pretrial process. We heard Manning testify, got to see what kind of person he was, very different than the media description. And now we go into a trial that could take 2 months at least.
So a couple things I'm curious about. First, it's important to say I think that most people, even those who oppose what Bradley Manning did, are admitting that what he released was not information that would have hurt the United States or any agents across the world, whether you wanted to or not. Would not have done that.
That's a very key point, because the most important charge he's facing is aiding the enemy. And when Manning testified, he pointed out that he didn't release every document he saw. He was careful not to release documents he thought that could hurt the U.S. military. He released documents that were more historical, that showed what the U.S. foreign policy was about, because he wanted to have a debate in the United States about where our foreign policy is going, where it went wrong, what we can do to correct it.
So this trial, talk about the demonstration Saturday, and then let's get into the heart of this trial.
Saturday is going to be a big demonstration, buses and vans and cars coming from all over the country, along mainly the Mid-Atlantic, New York, Philadelphia, Delaware, Washington, D.C. We expect more than 1,000 people show up, some great speakers. I get to lead it off as the first speaker, but that's not one of the great speakers. I get my 2 minutes. And then we'll have Daniel Ellsberg. We'll have Lieutenant Dan Choi, who's well-known for gay rights in the military. Ann Wright, who's an Army colonel, retired Army colonel. So it's going to be really a lot of good people to show support for Manning.
And Justin Radick is now joining us. Justin Radick is Government Accountability Projects, National Security and Human Rights Director. Justin, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
I appreciate you being part of the show.
Good morning, Jesslyn. This is Kevin. Good to hear your voice.
Hey, you can probably hear I have a little laryngitis going, but...
You can speak briefly as you like.
Oh, no, it's fine. I can talk.
Okay. So, I'm curious about how we see this as... There are two ways of looking at this trial. And we haven't had a debate on it in a while. Just we've had advocates on recently, but we should have a debate soon just to have... They have that take place for everybody to hear what other people might say they don't agree about this trial of Bradley Manning. But I'm curious why you think this is important. What does this trial say about us, about America, about people like Bradley Manning who are in the military?
Well, I think this is a historical trial. They should be getting much more attention. It has tremendous implications for whistleblowers and for, more importantly, even for a free press and for the First Amendment. The prosecution's theory of the case is dangerous on so many levels. First, the idea that, or the implication that WikiLeaks somehow solicited information from Manning, that's a problem because that's what journalists do every single day in the course of their reporting. And then another big problem in terms of First Amendment implications is the idea that because WikiLeaks documents were found in the compound of Osama bin Laden, which is really an assertion that's impossible to contest, but if we take that as true, and that's the proof being used to prove how Manning harmed the United States, that's dangerous because any terrorist who happens to have a copy of or have accessed a newspaper article by WikiLeaks or the New York Times or any other paper could suddenly be seen as aiding the enemy and committing espionage. So that is an incredibly broad, dangerous theory that I really think the mainstream media, it would behoove them to be pushing back on that because it's such a sweeping, dangerous proposition.
Okay, you must say something, Kevin. Go ahead.
It puts all media at risk. I think that's very important. This is kind of the John Peter Zenger case that established free press in the United States.
What was that?
That was the John Peter Zenger case of the colonial era that established the free press. And this is the 21st century version. What is free media going to look like in an era of citizen media, independent media, of the ability to leak documents? What kind of aggressive use of the Espionage Act are we going to see? Obama's used it more than every other president combined before him. This is in the context of a very attack on the media, the Associated Press, Fox News reporters, web media activists. There's a lot going on in the context of Bradley Manning that the media should be much more involved in reporting this and really pushing back aggressively.
So
exactly. I think, you know, the media here, strangely, I guess, has been treating Manning as it has treated WikiLeaks as being some kind of one-off and some kind of other category, that WikiLeaks is not a real publisher, that Manning is not a real whistleblower. When in reality, you know, the judge sees both sides of that, but the mainstream media has not been reporting that, and the mainstream media has been, you know, even it's bleeding into the mainstream media, and only now are they starting to complain that that AP's records were subpoenaed and that there was a search warrant on the Fox News reporter, James Rosen, but they're not making the very logical connection that this is the exact same thing they're doing in the Bradley Manning case.
So the question, I think there are people listening probably asking this question, so let me ask it. But Bradley Manning's a soldier.
Yep.
And as a soldier, he was a low-ranking soldier, but he had access to material that some people would say, look, he was a soldier. He swore an oath. He was joining the United States Army. Let me finish the question. So we've
all heard this question before, right, Justin?
You have, but I think it's an important one to answer.
No, I agree.
So does he have rights and duties as a soldier? Did he violate those rights and duties because he leaked information that he had no right to leak?
I'll let Justin
whether or not what he leaked was important for us to know.
Right.
Justin.
Well, first of all, Bradley Manning, most people don't know this, did go up his chain of command with some of his concerns, namely that the U.S. military was trying to entrap people who were merely passing out informational literature. And he did try to challenge that and was rebuffed. But more than that, the whole idea about these secrecy pledges, soldiers are not obligated to follow illegal orders. And the whole idea of the secrecy agreements has been thrown at every Espionage Act defendant. And these secrecy agreements don't permit the organization, whether it's the Army or, you know, a government agency, to break the law. You're keeping secret sources and methods, which Manning has not revealed. And I have not seen a single damage assessment where it has said that Bradley Manning revealed sources or methods or troop movements or nuclear designs and the kind of information.
And he testified he was careful not to do that, so he tried to avoid damaging the military. But I go even a little bit further on that. Just following orders is not a defense against war crimes. Nuremberg principles, where the United States, Robert Jackson, Supreme Court Justice, was the lead prosecutor, make it very clear. If you're in the military and you have a choice between obeying an order that's a war crime or violates the law or not, you can become complicit, part of the conspiracy, and prosecuted if you obey that order and hide that war crime.
So given what was released, what do you think he would have been complicit with, or we would have been complicit with, given what he released?
We've seen civilians killed. We've seen that hidden. We've seen civilians tortured. We've seen that hidden. We've seen Hillary Clinton spying on UN diplomats, writing a memo ordering her diplomats to spy on people who come to the United Nations. We've seen all sorts of crimes up and down the chain of command. And I think it's very important for academics, historians, lawyers, activists, media, to look at these documents and do an analysis of them. The best thing we can do for Bradley Manning is do what he wanted to see happen, which is start a debate on U.S. foreign policy. These documents give us a glimpse at a critical moment into where U.S. foreign policy has gone, where it's gone wrong, and it's an opportunity for us to build a more perfect union if we have that kind of discussion. And that's what Manning's goals was. Manning didn't, you know, the guy who informed on Manning suggested Manning sell these documents and get rich. He didn't do that. He could have given it to China, Iran, Russia, our so-called enemies, and he didn't do that. He said, no, this is public information. The public has a right to know what's being done in their name.
And Justin, I wonder, given this is a military tribunal, yes.
A court-martial.
A court-martial, exactly. What can be expected? We're not looking at a civilian court here.
No, not at all. I've gone to a number of the proceedings, and unfortunately what can be expected is not a normal course in a civilian criminal trial, namely that huge parts of the trial will be held in secret behind closed doors. 30 different witnesses have been approved to testify in secret. The whole pretrial of Bradley Manning's court-martial has been shrouded in secrecy, including stuff as basic as releasing transcripts of the judge's ruling and orders and motions that have been submitted and that kind of thing. Even though it's publicly discussed in court, there's been a concerted effort to withhold this information from the public. Yes, a court-martial operates differently in a number of ways, but I think the biggest thing that will be noticeable to people who will bother to observe it is the sheer amount of secrecy and finding themselves clueless about what's going on in parts of the trial, just like during the pretrial. Half the time, we don't know what the heck the judge is talking about.
That's right.
Because she's referencing things that occurred behind closed doors.
So we have about a minute left in the segment, and we are going to cover the Bradley Manning trial intensely over the next 2 months with some of these guests today and other guests as well who are going to be there, get reports. And again, Kevin, run down about what's happening over the weekend.
Well, I'd urge people to go to bradleymanning.org. Constant updates there. That's the best place to go. June 1st, we're going to have a big rally at the base. June 2nd, Jesslyn and Michael Ratner and others will be doing a session in Washington, D.C. on the impact of this trial on media. And then the trial starts next week, and it'll probably go for at least 6 weeks, maybe double that. So we'll see how it plays out. I hope you'll cover it regularly. We'll be covering it also on our website, popularresistance.org. Manning is one of the top stories that we're covering, too. It's a very important case.
Kevin Zeese is member of the steering committee of the Bradley Manning Support Network and co-director of its OurEconomy.us. Justin Radek, who joins us as well, Government Accountability Project's National Security and Human Rights Director. Thank you both so much. We'll look forward to having you on the next month as we continue looking at what happens to Bradley Manning.
Great.
And America in consequence in terms of our human rights and constitutional rights and what kind of democracy we're going to be. Good to have you both with us.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a brief break. When we come back, we are going to take a look at all the contradictions extant in Syria at the moment. Don't go away.